Fusion, the international science radio show.
We have a bouncer and the doors of perception.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
It gets pretty exciting.
The myths, the truths.
Toxicology.
Astro-seismology.
Magnetism.
The dark side.
Genetically engineered potatoes.
Planetoid.
Planetoid.
I love that word.
Greetings and welcome to your friendly neighbourhood science program, Diffusion Science Radio, coming to you live from the studios of 2SER in Sydney during 2SER's annual subscriber drive. It's 6:30 p.m. My name is Mark West, and this week we are getting in touch with our old friends on this planet and outside of this solar system. But joining us first is an old friend of anyone with an internet connection, Old Spice.
Hello, ladies. I'm talking through your radio. Now, listen to me. Back to your radio, and now listen to me. Your radio isn't me, but if you tune in at 6:30 on Monday nights, your radio could sound like me. Diffusion has that science about that thing you've always wanted to know about. That's right, Science Radio every Monday at 6:30 p.m. with the Diffusion team. Look up, look back. I'm telling you the word from the lab on getting the jab, snorting sunshine and how semen works as an antidepressant for the ladies. You can phone me and subscribe on 9514-9500. That's 9514-9500. I need you, baby, to subscribe, to keep radio this good, alive. I'm on 2SER.
That deep-voiced young man was, of course, our own Ian Wolfe, who joins us here today in the studio. Welcome, Ian. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
That's very good. I like you with that deep voice. Very nice. And also here in the studio is our other old friend, Victoria Bond. How are you going?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, we've been broadcasting science on 2SER since 1995. Ian, you've been around longer than myself and Victoria, but we've been around for a long time. So if any of you listeners would like to continue to hear intellectual and alternative science radio, then please subscribe to 2SER by calling up, as Old Spice said, on 9514-9500 or getting over to the 2SER website at 2SER.com. Also at HelloRadioMyOldFriend.com. You can also subscribe there. By subscribing to the station, you can help 2SER stay on air, and you will be guaranteed some awesome prizes, or some awesome gifts, I should say, as well as going into the running for some awesome prizes. If you mention Diffusion when you sign up, I will personally give you a cuddle. Guaranteed. As this is what old friends do. Guys, how much does it actually cost? It's pretty cheap, isn't it?
$66.
$66. That's fairly cheap. That's just the normal working one, isn't it? We can get even cheaper than that.
If you're a student like me, it's $33 concession price.
$33. That's how many beers is that?
It's like half a beer in Sydney these days.
Yeah, it's not many, is it? It's a pretty cheap night out. And imagine the year-long friendship that you can get from us.
That's right. And you can be a passionate subscriber for $120.
$120 is actually not all that much either. I think I might become a passionate subscriber. So it's quite cheap. So give us a call. 9514-9500. And remember that guarantee that I will give you a cuddle personally if you do. Now, to kick off our discussions tonight, we're going to be talking about our old friends on the other side of the universe. As recently there's been some news that the most Earth-like planet has ever been discovered has been found 20 light years away. Now, the name of the planet is a bit of a mouthful. It's Gliese 581g. Now, it actually isn't pronounced, it isn't spelt anything like that, but it's Gliese 581g. And it's located 20 light years away in the constellation of Libra. A team of planet hunters at the W.M. Keck Observatory in Hawaii has announced the discovery of this planet, which is three times our mass, orbiting the star, and the star is called Gliese 581, at a distance that places it squarely in the middle of the star's habitable zone, where liquid water could exist on the planet's surface. If confirmed, this would be the most Earth-like exoplanet yet discovered among the nearly 500 known exoplanets. Extrasolar planets, and the first strong case for a potentially habitable one. To astronomers, a potentially habitable planet is one that could sustain life, not necessarily one that humans would consider a nice place to live. Habitability depends on many factors, but liquid water and an atmosphere are among the most important. The total number of known planets around Gliese 581 is 6. The most yet discovered in an interplanetary system other than our own. Like our own solar system, the planets around Gliese 581 have nearly circular orbits. Two previously detected planets in the system lie at the edges of the habitable zone, one on the hot side, which is called Planet C, and one on the cold side, which is Planet D. And you may remember a little over a year ago, Cosmos magazine decided to send text messages to Planet D because it was considered at the time that it was one of the more... it had higher potential of being sustaining life. But while some astronomers still think that Planet D may be habitable, if it has a thick atmosphere with a strong greenhouse effect to warm it up, others are pretty sceptical about that. But Gliese 581G has a mass just over three times that of the Earth and an orbital period of just under 37 days. Its mass indicates that it's probably a rocky planet with a definite surface that has enough gravity to hold on to an atmosphere. And even more interesting about all this is that if the local stellar neighbourhood is a representative sample of the galaxy as a whole, our Milky Way could be teeming with potentially habitable planets. I actually think it's kind of cool that this system has six planets, so our solar system doesn't really seem unique in the universe. What do you guys think? Any old friends out there in Gliese ready to make contact with us, do you think?
Well, I don't think we've got any answers to last year's messages.
No, they haven't come through yet. Well, it's 20 light years away, so we might be waiting for,
20 years.
Or 40, really, because the messages have to come back.
You're so right.
Yeah.
And that's if they feel like responding. I mean, what sorts of messages have we sent them?
I'm not going to repeat the message that I sent on air. but, yeah, they might not choose to. I think they also need to have 3G mobile phones or Twitter accounts to be able to actually answer them. So.
Oh, I don't think they need 3G. They just need to be able to broadcast text. They need to be able to read ASCII code.
Oh, really? Yes. I always imagine this as being sent like Morse code, but it's a little bit more sophisticated than that, isn't it?
Not much.
Not much?
So, I might have a bit of a stupid question, but we've been sending out radio waves for much longer than 20 years. If there are, live creatures out there on Gliese, they would have already received some of our outputs. Is that correct, or would they have disintegrated?
It's very weak by the time it gets out there.
Yeah. What Cosmos did last year was a very targeted thing. They sent it straight there, so I guess the signal is much stronger. But you're right, we've been sending out radio signals for when was television invented?
1950s. It's about 50 years, which is also when the search for extraterrestrial intelligence has been going for about as long. But the signals get very faint. Our TV ones aren't aimed up at the stars. Most of the power is around here, so they'd have to have very good telescopes indeed.
And there's actually a theory, and you might know more about this than I do, that the use of radio waves as a communication method or medium is likely to stop. We may find another way of doing it, a better, more efficient way at some point. So the number of years that a planet will be sending out messages like this, they may only be short. So there's every chance that this era of Earth may be missed by anybody out there.
Well, that's exactly right. We're using less radio in the frequencies that we're searching in than we used to, a lot less.
And so are our telescopes strong enough to find radio waves from planets like Gliese?
But TV signals, like the sort of thing we're sending out?
Right.
Not quite yet.
But there's a lot of interesting things are, on the improve. Or I don't know if you'd say exponentially, but certainly getting a lot better. And there's some interesting theories out there that eventually the search for extraterrestrial life will just look at planets, that the actual optical telescopes or perhaps infrared telescopes will be so good that we may even be able to just look at the surface of a planet and see if there are, maybe like chlorophyll to start with. But beyond that, seeing cities and such things. It's really interesting.
Quite amazing.
That would be quite amazing. Hopefully we're alive to see it. Now, you might not get yourself a trip to Gliese at any time soon. It takes 20 light years to get there, so humans aren't going to get there anytime soon. But if you subscribe to Diffusion subscribe to 2SER during the subscriber drive, you could win a trip to Malaysia. And I think a trip to Malaysia is probably... Well, it's probably a bit nicer, actually. So you can win return flights to Malaysia for two, valued at almost $2,000. You could win a $1,000 bike pack, or you could win a 12-month membership to Boxing Works Surrey Hills, valued at $1,308, which sounds very good. What are some of the prizes attracting you guys?
Well, I know that if you subscribe, you're eligible for getting a really rad T-shirt, showing the Hello Radio My Old Friend logo, which you can also check out by checking the website www.helloradiomyoldfriend. You can choose various t-shirts, either the Radio Friend or the Sepia t-shirt. So
they are very good. The artwork, whoever did the artwork, and I'm looking at the Diffusion guys in the 2SCR guys in the other room, see if they're listening to the show. But
on
whoever,
the phones.
Yeah, on the phones. Yeah, whoever did the artwork, very good. Very much liked it. If you liked it, get over to the website or give us a call, 9514-9500.
And there's some amazing benefits here. You could win a DJ course and music production course with DJ Warehouse valued at $540.
And we've actually got some giveaways here in the studio for us. We've got three CDs to give away. The first is by a band called PVT, and their CD is called Church With No Magic. And they've actually got some sciencey-themed songs. They've got a demo of The Science of Man and another called Golden Halo. Whether or not that's scientific, I don't know. But if you would like to win that giveaway, call us now during the show, 9514-9500. Victoria, you quite like the other band on offer.
Yeah, so it's maybe not so much of a sciencey theme, but I can vouch for the excellence of the album itself. It's Grizzly Bear's Vectum Est. And if you call in now and say Diffusion's your favorite show and subscribe to 2SCR, whether that's a concession or a full price subscription.
Or passionate.
Or passionate, you know. You're eligible to win either of those two CDs. Just tell the people on the phone which ones you prefer.
That's right. And don't forget, you can also subscribe your pet or child for only $33.
Ah, that's true. And, well, I have a child on the way. Maybe I should subscribe him. That could be his first birthday present. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? I'll have to cuddle myself. Well, I'll cuddle him. Probably do that anyway. All right. Do you have alien friends? You might be surprised how many people claim to have not only been visited by aliens, but have been talked to them, or perhaps even probed by them. Some people even think that Jesus might have been an alien. Darren Osborne and myself took to the pub to ask Sydneysiders what they thought of alien life.
So I was just wondering, do you think that there is life out there?
Absolutely. I've seen a UFO and a lot of people never believed me when I've told them. I only told a few people and they think I'm crazy. But yeah, I saw a UFO one night, freaked the hell out of me.
So where did you encounter this UFO, and can you tell us a little bit about it?
I was living not far from Blacktown. I was doing my HSC and lived around the corner from this big lookout, so I just went and had a cigarette break from studying and stuff, and all of a sudden, like, all the lights went out around the town and got really freaky, and I looked up in the sky and there was this huge flying saucer with, you know, the lights going around the circumference just like you see in the movies, you know. It was outrageous, and of course I was a little bit panicky and started running home down the hill around the corner, and the UFO was sort of flying through the air. And where I lived, a little flat above the garage, so I sat out on the steps for about 10 minutes, and this is where you're going to think I'm really nuts, is it spat out a baby ship. And I'd only wished that I'd had a camera or something on the night, and the ship sort of looked like it was flying towards the house. God knows how far away it was, you know. Anyway, I went to bed that night. The radio wasn't working properly. The TV was flickering. The lights were not working, and so I sort of hid under the covers and actually wrote a note to my mother saying, if I'm not here in the morning, I've been abducted by aliens, because I really thought I was a goner. Anyway, I woke up, it was all right, nothing happened. There were no green men in my flat, but yeah, true story.
And what do people say to you? You mentioned that people don't believe you. How do they react when you tell them the story?
Oh, they asked me, you know, if I was on drugs or anything, but I didn't even really know what a lot of stuff was back then. I was pretty innocent as far as that stuff goes, so totally sober. Black coffee, cigarettes, that was it. Yeah, but people just think I was making it up or having a joke with them. But no, dead set true. But I'm not sure if anyone else saw it that night. They looked up the sky. They couldn't have missed it for the world.
So you're firmly in the yes category too. Is there alien life out there?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
May the force be with you.
Yeah, well, I don't know if there's anything out there, but you'd like to hope that we're not the smartest creatures in the universe, because we don't seem to be doing a very good job of managing our own planet, so hopefully someone else can do a better job.
Do you believe that we've been visited? Do you believe in the idea of UFOs and aliens that have come to visit planet Earth?
I think there's too many things that have happened on Earth. Like that people can't determine, you know, how ancient civilizations could construct things the way they did, pyramids and the Incans. So, yeah, I'd say so.
You don't think the world's going to end in 2012 then, like the Incas did?
I don't know. I saw that movie a couple of weeks ago, and Yeah, it didn't look it didn't look promising. So I hope not, because I'll still be alive then.
Well, it wasn't a documentary, I don't think. But
oh, no, well, let's hope not. Cheers.
All right. So, do you believe that there's life beyond Earth?
Yeah, I probably think that there must be something else existing, but I don't know what kind of form or how intelligent or how active they are in the whole solar system.
What about the thought about UFOs that we've been visited? Do you think that that's all made up, or is there a chance that we could be being visited?
I think a lot of people would like to believe that, so I guess that's enough for them. I'm not really yet positive.
So you've never seen a UFO yourself?
No, not yet. Not yet. There's time.
Do you believe in UFOs and alien life?
I've never really thought about it, but I guess, well, where did we come from, really? There has to be something else out there before us, and I reckon after us as well, so I'm sure there would be something there.
If you look into the sky and you see a star, it's generally a sun, which will have a galaxy around it, and we're too small, you know, we can't even fathom how large the universe is, and yeah, definitely life out there.
Mm-hmm. What about the idea of UFOs, that UFOs with aliens have come and visited us? Do you support that idea?
Possibly. You know, are we an experiment? You know, was Jesus an alien?
I haven't thought of that idea before.
Yeah.
And do you think it's worth, you know, I mean, there are some who are critical of searches for extraterrestrial life, whether it be, you know, using radio telescopes, listening out for aliens, or sending spacecraft out to Mars to search for life. I mean, is it a waste of time, or should we continue doing it?
Well, it's out there, you've got to have a look.
Was Jesus an alien? That's a very good question, and it's out there. Well, you might as well have a look. I love it. It's really good stuff. You can hear more of that discussion at beerdrinkingscientists.com if you're interested, as scientists do occasionally like to get friendly and chat science over a beer. Now, you are not guaranteed to see an alien or Jesus in your life, but you are guaranteed a subscriber pack if you call us now or get online and mention Diffusion. And you are also guaranteed that cuddle I mentioned earlier. Our phone number, 95149500, and we've also got a couple of CDs to give away if you call in during the show. That's 95149500. Now, with the subscriber pack, contains a Spunk subscriber pack, which contains tracks from Bear Hug, Mammonia, Holly Throsby, Sufjan Stevens, a whole bunch of people actually. You also get a 3-month subscription to Time Out Sydney, and you also get Victoria's favourite, the sticker and the fridge magnet. So these come with your subscriber. You subscribe now and you get this for the cheap price of $66.33 for a concession. Now, Ian, you have something on the rethinking of the search for extraterrestrial life.
Should we talk about Project Argus first?
Let's talk about Project Argus first, then.
All right. Project Argus was set up by the SETI League, a group of amateurs who were concerned that since there wasn't any government funding for the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, that they would set it up themselves. So if you're an enthusiastic amateur, you can get yourself an old satellite dish and various bits of equipment, depending on how much money you have, and set up in your backyard a radio dish connected over the internet to Project Argus and listen in for signals from aliens.
You can do this all at home yourself.
Do it all at home yourself, and they have a song.
The giant SETI telescopes we typically apply at any time can only see a millionth of the sky, so the chances they'll be missing any signal that is sent are roughly 99.9999%. But when Project Argus grows to full strength, we will show that the suns shall never set on SETI. Guard beast that had 100 eyes could see in all directions and completely scan the skies. If we used 5,000 dishes, had them pointed all around, we could intercept all signals which should chance to run aground. And when Project Argus grows to full strength, we will show that the suns never set on SETI. To build so many research-grade radio telescopes would deplete our planet's coffers and exceed our fondest hopes. But enlist 5,000 volunteers, persons who are skilled in technology no government could ever fund or build. And watch Project Argus grow to full strength as we show that the suns shall never set on SETI. We've privatized the effort that was lacking public funds to detect the beings living in the light of distant suns. Though the search may take a lifetime, it is very clearly shown that if we do not pursue it, we will always be alone. So let Project Argus grow to full strength as we show that the suns shall never set on SETI.
That should have everyone ringing in to make a stop. All right. I went to Melbourne and saw some amazing stuff. The Benford twins, James and Gregory Benford, along with their son Dominic, had written a paper for the Journal of Astrobiology, Rethinking SETI. They say that we're looking at the search for extraterrestrial intelligence wrong. We're doing it wrong. He's looking at it from the perspective of what kind of beacons would aliens actually use to send a signal? If we were going to send a signal, what would we use? Now, James Benford is director of microwave sciences. He's a physicist and expert in microwave transmitters. So he's looking at the cost-benefit ratios of how big an aerial you can build for the most power you can get out and what frequencies you would use. And it turns out we're looking at the wrong frequencies. So we're also looking the wrong way because we've been looking for a few minutes here and there, and we should be looking at the whole sky continuously. We should probably be also concentrating on the galactic center where there's more stars and they're older. So there's more likely to be life and more likely to be civilization. So he thinks the most economical way to signal your presence to the universe is to have a powerful main beam that pretty much just pulses enough to obviously be not natural and to get people's attention, perhaps scanning like a lighthouse through the galaxy. Sort of, look this way, and once you're looking the right way, a lower power signal will carry actual data for how to communicate. So to date, SETI has found no signals out to a distance of hundreds of light years. But over the last 50 years, people have only spent a couple of months of telescope time listening to signals. So his argument is that we've been looking for signals since the 1950s that made it cheaper for us, the receiver, and didn't worry about the cost to the aliens. We assume their motivation is communication and that they'd be high-powered enough that we could hear them and be running all the time. They'd broadcast around 1 to 2 gigahertz because it's the most quiet part of the sky in microwaves, and so it's easier for us to detect. It's all about us. And of course, in the 50s when we started, that was what we could make, 1 to 2 gigahertz of microwaves, no higher. Now, if you make it cheaper for the sender, for the aliens, things are different. And as most messages we've received from the past, and SETI signals will be messages from the past, it's all been, I was a great king, remember me, or Kilroy was here. So the aliens' motivations might be for pride, to announce their existence, or even accidental leakage from internal communications. So there might be two beacons talking to each other. So as a result, they'd broadcast in a sequence of bursts or pulses, which so you hear a little bit and then it would stop because it's moved on. So they'd broadcast in high microwave signals, around 5 to 10 gigahertz, because that's where it tops out as being the most bang for your buck. So his strategy is to look at temporary signals we've seen in the past, and it's quite possible that we've already seen one of these signals. Several times over the past 50 years, searchers have picked up radio signals that flashed once or twice and then disappeared. The best known of these is called the WOW signal, because that's what an astronomer who picked it up wrote on the printout from a radio telescope at the Ohio State University in the 70s. The researchers went back to the star in question immediately, but heard nothing. It may well be that we detected extraterrestrials more than 30 years ago, but because we weren't taking into account what ET would do, we failed to confirm it. He thinks our best bet is the Square Kilometre Array, a giant telescope to be made from thousands of radio dish telescopes, all connected to a giant computer that synthesizes the image as if it came from one giant telescope around the Earth. If a small number of extra dishes were added that were devoted to SETI, then we could just stare at the sky to look for the sort of beacons that 21st century science says the most likely kinds we might be seeing. So, what do you guys think? Are we looking just the wrong way?
It's a very good question. I've always been intrigued by that wow signal. It's a very old signal, isn't it? It was in the 70s, was it?
In the 70s.
In the 70s, and we've never had an explanation for it. It's very interesting.
Well, it's one of those things, and we have sort of, after we stop seeing anything, we stop looking.
But, I mean, if we were to... they looked again and there was no signal. If we were to look back to the star now and there's still no signal, what more can we do?
Ah, well, he's saying, what if, for example, it's actually a signal that comes from the other side? Then if it comes from, we should look in the other direction from the galactic plane from where we heard it, either towards the centre or away from the centre, and see if it's talking to someone, for example.
Well, that, unfortunately, I think, guys, is all the time we have in this live subscriber drive edition of Diffusion, Sydney's favourite old radio show. Sydney's favourite old science radio show, I should say. If you would like more information about any of the topics on tonight's show, or to listen back via podcast, or to get in contact with us, get over to diffusionradio.com. And you can also find us on Facebook. Today, Diffusion has been hosted by me, Mark West, produced by Old Spice Ian Wolfe, and we've been kept in line by Victoria Bond. Now, don't forget to subscribe to 2SCR. Subscribing helps keep independent radio on air, and you'll be hard-pressed to find quality radio, quality science radio in Australia outside of the ABC. Generally, community radio stations house this type of broadcasting. And Diffusion is a relatively small operation, so we can respond to listener questions in a personal way. Each member of the team is an actual trained and working scientist, as opposed to a journalist, which means that we can bring authority to the topics at hand, as well as having access to Australia's best scientists. Give us a call, 9514 9500, or get over to helloradiomyoldfriend.com. So on that note, have yourself a wonderful evening. We are going out to Space Invaders by Player One, and next up is Final Draft.